Good morning to the brothers and sisters here at Shirksville. It is a very beautiful thing to experience the progression of time, but it's also a little bit of a fearful thing. It gives you a little bit of terror once you realize how fast your life is getting away. This building holds a lot of memories. Even if it's been 24 years since I walked in and out of these doors regularly. We've been back a few times since, but I feel a little bit of the same terror that I felt when we had summer Bible school and we had the stage set up here. Do you still do that? And we all had to get up front and do things. I remember when Sister Florence was our teacher and we had to illustrate what the Word of God is like. And we each had to hold up something different. The Word of God is like fire, like a mirror. Mine was, the Word of God is like a sword. And I'm sure this building could tell a lot of memories. And even though the faces have changed, yet the experiences are much the same of coming into this place away from life, do some reflection, hear from the Word of God, consider the path of our feet. And we want to do that again here this morning. I bring greetings from Pensacola. I guess they're probably gathering in the front door about now. It's just about as cold down there as it is up here, it seems like. It's kind of interesting. And you're welcome to come visit us. Seems like we've had quite an influx of people in the last year, but we're glad for that. Getting ready to start another outreach. Excited about that. That's a big job, but we trust God's with us. He's opening the doors. It's hard to believe this is the last day of 2023. Good time for reflection. What happened in 2023? You know, in many ways, the events or the meaning of the events in our lives are kind of veiled by our nearness to them. It's not till we get a little space away from the things that happen that we can begin to see what God was actually doing. Once the emotions fade, whether they're painful or frivolous, we start to get a glimpse of the significance. I was thinking about that this morning. 2023, what happened? My wife and I became grandparents this year. That's unbelievable. And my parents entered their 70th year. Something's not right about that either. I was privileged to watch an addict freed from his addiction and watch him find the simple joys of life again. And I was also pained to watch an addict lose the fight to his addiction. Try to do some intervention and just become enemy number one. But keeping our eyes on the long goal, you keep the faith because you get the sense that there's nothing too small and nothing too big, but God's in it somehow. He's moving life forward and He's all up in his creation. He has not abandoned us. I'd like to look at the book of James this morning just to get a little sense again of the fact that even though our struggle of life seems to be somewhat perplexing sometimes overly captivating, sometimes disappointing, and sometimes super exciting, behind the emotions that we feel, behind the things we see, behind the relationships we have, is a Heavenly Father who's writing our story. And there's a lot of the details of our story that we can't change. We can't pick who our parents were. We can hardly pick what opportunities come our way. About all we get to do is just try to make a right decision in the moment and hope it works out good for us, like we get to a better place in life. And as I thought about wrapping up 2023 and tomorrow beginning 2024, I was reminded of how, for the Jews, their new year is Rosh Hashanah. It's not today necessarily, but at Rosh Hashanah, it's kind of fascinating. In the Talmud, it states that three books are opened, and the names of the righteous are immediately inscribed into the book of life, and they are sealed to live. Then there's an intermediate class who's allowed a space of 10 days to Yom Kippur where they can reflect, repent, and become righteous. While the wicked, on the other hand, are blotted out of the book of the living forever. Some Midrashic descriptions depict God as sitting upon a throne while books containing the deeds of all humanity are open for review and each person passed in front of him for evaluation of his or her deeds. That was written down even before our New Testament was written. They were already conscious of the fact that, wait a second, my day-to-day life is being written as part of a bigger story somewhere and I'm going to have to answer for it. New Year's is a special time to consider that. It's a time actually of serious awe, consideration of this King who I come before on this first day of the year, and for 10 days I do a walk of repentance and consider my life if I want my name to be written in the book of the righteous. There's also tones of new creation. So we are living in a fallen world, but we believe that our King is going to make all things new. He is going to make a new creation. And the new year is a time when I celebrate as a son of God that new creation is going to come. And the new year is like the opening of that opportunity. And we feel that some, like 2023 was okay, but 2024, let's start over. Let's make some new resolutions. Let's be a better version of ourselves. Once you get past 40, maybe you feel a little jaded at those hopes, considering how they've gone in the past. But as I think about new creation, I was actually going to preach from a verse in chapter 6 of Galatians, but as I was studying that word there, a new creature, I was drawn to James chapter 1, verse 18. I'll start with 17 here this morning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. My title this morning is New Creation Has Begun. And I'd like to just think about that hope that we, mortal, tempted, tested, struggling, stumbling, broken creatures as we are God's new creation. And we are notice to the rest of the world that God has not given up on his plan to make a good world, to continue throughout the ages to manifest his glory. He has not given up, even though sin is breaking and destroying many lives, yet we can be participants in new creation. So one of the things they do as part of their rituals, the Jews, ever since Second Temple, have always built these special little pools of where water runs through, where they go down and they immerse in this water and they come back up. And one of the things that they're doing as they participate in that ritual, they're seeking ritual cleansing. But they're also seeking new birth. They want a new birth. They want the new year to be a birth of something new, of them participating with God and His work in the world in a fresh way. And as I looked at James here, he grew up in this culture of these anticipations that we, downtrodden by Rome as we are still the people of God. Even though He seems to be somewhat silent to us, we still are hanging on to the fact that He is going to come and rescue us. And then he was privileged to be very closely connected with the Messiah, the one who came and brought new birth. He begat us, he says. The Father begat us with this word of truth that we should be a special kind of the first ones of His creation. The first ones of His creation. Wait, creation happened back 6,000 years before, right? No, he says, we are first ones of His new creation. And even though 2,000 years may have passed since James spoke this and wrote this, today we still participate in this mystery. We are first ones of His new creation because Paul says the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. They're looking to the sons of God saying, is it true? Is new creation yet coming? And as my heart reaches for that, as I experience the death and decay and destruction, I say, James, what does it look like? What does new creation look like? Because I'm wearing down. I'm wearing out. Walk me through it again. What is new creation? And as I looked at James chapter 1, it just came alive to me all over again. New creation is happening in your life when you're experiencing difficulties. That's not what I expected to hear. Get excited. Be filled with joy when difficulties are trying your faith and working patience. Because God is creating gold in your life called patience, patient endurance. I tend to value, when things go easy. And then I think I can be happy. But he says, value the testing of your faith that grows patience. So as I look back at 2023, I have to say, okay, so the difficult things worked something good. Okay, Father, I'll embrace that. Help me to embrace that even more in 2024. One of the goals of new creation is that we can be made perfect. And that's what he says in verse 4. Let it have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. And It's astonishing to me to think that the God of heaven looks down at poor broken me, the struggles that I'm going through, and my inadequacy to grasp what he's doing. I want it. I want to see it. I want to know it. I want to participate. And he delights in the perfect work that is happening. And he says, let it, embrace it so it can happen to its perfection. And that, I think that raises the next question then. It's like, what if I don't understand what is going on? He says, if you lack wisdom, ask him. Ask him. And I think back to my conversations with God. Probably the most memorable conversations are the ones driving down the road saying, Father, could you please help? Because I don't know how we're going to get through this situation. And I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know how to participate with you in this one. James says you got to ask. Just ask. Ask. That simple hands up. What do you say? Lift up hands without wrath and doubting. Father, I'm reaching up for your hand, reaching down today. I'm asking. I need your wisdom because I want to participate with you. I feel like running away from the test, and you say, if I'll ask for wisdom, you will pour it on. Giveth liberally, to all men liberally. There's no conditions. You don't have to have a certain pedigree. You don't have to have met a certain perfection. You just ask God, and he loves to pour it on. But then he said he has to tell us something else. And this is especially fitting for us in the American culture, where we're like, if McDonald's takes 7 minutes and 30 seconds, this is totally unacceptable. I got to have it now. But James tells us, and apparently this was just as much of a problem back then. When you ask, point number three, stay right there. Don't move. Stay expectant. Wait on God to answer. God expects you to wait for your answer, and it's good for your soul. And that's the person who receives an answer from God. Ask in faith, not turning away, not wavering. Not saying, well, okay, maybe I'll just forget about it and just go back into my own pursuits. Jesus said rich people are hardly going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? Because a rich man has so many things to do. He's got so many ways to medicate his pain or chase more, so much to keep after, maybe. And so James talks about that next. He says, actually, the brother who's not very well off has a special exaltation. And the brother who's rich has a special humiliation. I didn't see that one coming. Somehow I thought if God blessed me more, I could bless him more, and we'd all be better off. But he says, no, those who have little, he doesn't say in which way they have a low degree here, verse 9, but maybe it's reputation, maybe it's money in the bank, maybe it's various things. That reminds me of Jesus. And he said, happy are the poor. Or Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And woe to you that laugh. Woe to you that are rich. So as I go into 2024, I want to let God reset my value system so he can teach me how to participate with him in this mystery of new creation. Let him work what he's trying to work in here. And if it means embracing poverty, embrace poverty. And say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me a raise. Giving me a raise, that reminds me. 15 years ago, we were framing a house in Alabama. And my friend and I were getting ready to put house wrap on a wall. And we needed to be raised up. And our boss jumped on the four-wheel drive forklift and said, I'll pick you up. One end of the plank was on the forks and the other end was on a board sticking out from the wall. Well, little did we know as we were going up, joking about getting a raise, that something was happening at the board on the other end. As the plank went up, it pushed out, and as the plank pushed out, the 2x4, which was just nailed into the wall, was pushed out of the wall, and we didn't really know what happened. Next thing we know, I was sitting on the ground, my leg was hurting, and I look over, and Philip's getting up off the ground, looking around like, what just happened? And We were like cut off in mid-sentence from joking about the boss giving us a raise to getting up off the ground. I don't know why that came to me right now, but that's a little bit the way life is. In the middle of it, it's so sudden, it takes you off guard, you're not ready for this. And God doesn't beat you up for that, per se. It feels like he's beating you up when that happens, but God's with us in all those situations. Not that he's intentionally getting a sadistic joy out of our pain, but he's calling us to wake up out of our folly, maybe, to see what's most important. So he talks about the fact that the things that we see, the things that we try to hang on to as humans, just vanish away. They're like a vapor. God, help me to hang on to the things that are valuable in 2024, not the things that are going to vaporize. This world's a beautiful world that God made for our enjoyment, for our good. But Paul said, as using this world, but not abusing it. We're just prone to abuse of God's world. He wants to call us to a correct use with a vision beyond. One of the things we did in 2024, we started doing, we haven't finished yet, a couple couples got together. We're going through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. One of my friends said, I'd like you to evaluate this to see if it's any good. And I've been impressed. I've probably got a lot of dysfunction in my life. That's one thing I hope improves in 2024 is my use of God's resources, financially speaking. But I have one thing to say to Dave. Dave, the vision's got to go a little bit further. He talks about using your resources wisely so you can give like nobody else later in life. But I don't sense a deep embrace of the fact that if you're truly wise, your investments aren't laid up for your 60s, 70s, and 80s. They're laid up for after we really become new creation. And I don't have a problem with saving up for retirement per se, but the exciting thing is that we realize everything here withers and fades, but I have an opportunity to get in on what will never fade or wither. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And when he talks about saving $1 million, I'm like, well, that one passed me by. He said, if you would have started when you're 20, by the time you're 40, you can quit saving, you'll have $1 million when you're 70. I'm like, well, that's gone. I don't have that opportunity anymore. That's too bad. But James says, the crown of life is yours, if you will. Go ahead and endure the temptation. That's refining you. And a crown will be given to those that love the Lord. Deep down inside, God wants to grow a love for him. And I think that's what he gave the gift. That's a gift he gave to the poor man. That's the opportunity, the special opportunity. With all this opportunity, as I look at the struggle of life, the strain of life, the temptations of life, did anybody say smartphone? How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it with this enormous temptation? And James goes into that next because he knows our hearts and he knows that we're going to be tempted to say, God can't expect anybody to make it with temptations that are this difficult. That could be lustful temptations or it could be the adversities of life. Nobody has had a life as adverse as mine. From the time I was a child, other people's sins have crushed me. And it's not fair that God would do this to me. Why did he even let that snake in the garden in the first place? Right? It's his fault. It's like the man who was given the treasure, the talent to invest, and he's like, I know that you're a hard master. So I'm not going to be engaging in your game. I'm just burying it in the ground. Sorry for you. We struggle with this essential temptation, it's God's problem. It's God's problem. But he says, don't say I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. And you know how that works. You think about something, a thought is formed, and then a thought forms a desire, and a desire forms an action. And an action, when that cycle of thoughts, desires, and actions are finished, it ends in death. Don't make that mistake, my beloved brothers. And this is what he counters it with. I believe 17 and 18 is right here in the center of his discourse because it is the center of the new creation message. It's easy for us sometimes to beat each other up to do better, thinking that this is how it's supposed to work. And he's going to get to that actually in verse 19 when he says, it's not wrath that makes new creation. It's not anger. But right here he says, your father is not a father who's making your life miserable to destroy you. Your father is actually this one who radiates light. There's like this flow of light coming from this divine being who is just pouring out good and perfect gifts. So that means for every adversity, for every issue, for every difficulty, my Heavenly Father is radiating out of his store of goodness something for me to reach up and get a hold of to make me a beautiful new creation, Son of God, participate with him. Out of the travail in becoming one of his own, in loving him, in knowing him, and enjoying him forever. But starting now, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak. Now he's going to go into some practical advice. We like to fix our lives by a lot of talking. Guilty. Start listening. Because it's not your ability to talk and get your way that works new creation. The wrath of man does not work God's righteousness. He's going to tell us later not to be many masters, not to be many teachers. If I could be in the White House running things, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. That's just a common phrase you hear every day. And that's typical for us as humans. But James says, no, new creation is about a repentance, a change, and something markedly different happening in your life. When the Father shines his love into your life, let it close those lips and open those ears. And once you begin to see what God's doing, then you'll begin to participate with him in new creation. I want to do that in 2024, Father. Would you please help me do that? And not only that, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And just open up your heart to receive with meekness the word that God wants to implant, the logos, the order out of the chaos. So in this primordial sea of darkness and chaos, the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the water. And God begins to speak and the logos begins to create life. The logos of God wants to speak into your heart today to implant life in order. In the middle of the chaos of testing and struggle and temptation, lay aside all of your empty desires that even though they're fascinating and fun and full of promise, they're just going to lead to death. He's just described that. So lay that aside and open up your heart to this logos, to this spirit that hovers over God's new creation. Because he will save your soul. I got saved. Baptized right down here. But I'm being saved. I'm opening up my heart to you in 2024, Father. That you would implant in here life. So that life can be new creation that I participate in. Be doers of this logos. Be doers of it. He's pouring it in so you can pour it out. And if you don't pour it out, you're just like somebody who has some kind of encounter with truth, but doesn't essentially change, doesn't essentially participate in new creation. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. So we talked about perfection. We have the perfect, necessary resource. And James calls it not a law of demands, not a hard taskmaster, but a law of freedom. Look into this perfect law of freedom and continue in it. You'll be blessed. Blessed is the word that Jesus used when he said, happy, blessed, makarios, a very special kind of favor, a good place, new creation, are those who are poor in spirit, are those who mourn, are those who are meek, and are those who are hungry. And I'm going to teach you mercy, purity, and peacemaking. Now, we've already been hearing a little bit about the peacemaking. And he's going to say it again. If any man among you seem to be religious in the kingdom, somebody special, and isn't able to bridle his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There was a tongue that came into a very good garden, talking, 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 talking. Yea, have God said. Is that really true? No, you're not going to die. And James says later that our tongues have been set on fire with that fire from hell. And we have a wisdom that comes from beneath. Earthly, sensual, devilish. And it's destructive. And he says, when you encounter this law of freedom that God has given us in the divine logos, this new creation, Jesus, person and presence. I used to not like James because I thought he was too much like self-help Proverbs or something. It's not enough Jesus in there. I just didn't see it, how it was coded in, you might say. This is all about being born of the Word, being implanted by the Word, being surrendered to the Word, that births a change in you. This fundamental change where your tongue is stilled, this tongue that is set on fire of hell, is extinguished. And instead, it becomes a tree of life. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. What's that? That's Jesus and his kingdom. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We think the Israelites were a little crazy when God said, I'll go ahead of you and get rid of all your enemies. I'll fight for you. All you have to do is claim your territory. And we say they were so stupid. They should have. They should have took him up on it. And then they made alliances with people that acted like they were from far away. And they always struggled with these people that lived among them. I feel a little bit that way as I get a sense of God's perspective on my life, saying, it is backwards, it's upside down. I want poverty of spirit, mourning, meekness, and hunger. And I want to create mercy, purity, and peacemaking. Because I want to demonstrate to the heavenly spiritual powers of this world, those demonic beings who sit as prince of power, and they work in the hearts of those who've given themselves to their lusts. They control them. I want you to be a demonstration to them that my new creation is coming. And if you'll walk with me in this path of new creation,